when everyone else has walked away and it's just you and maybe your attorney standing and everyone else has walked away, are they going to be the ones in your corner? Are they going to be able to endure hell with you? Are they going to be able, the ones that are going to be able to go through all this with you and walk through the other side of it? Okay. Because if they can't handle all these other parts of their life and balance everything, then how the hell are they going to do it for you?
Hey, Tim, let's talk about civilian defense when it comes to the military. You know, why is choosing a civilian military defense attorney often a smarter move?
Because you need someone with passion and experience who's won cases and has a history of winning cases. You know, these military court-martial cases are extraordinarily severe, and they can be life-altering, something that in the civilian world might not ever get prosecuted. You're going to be taken to task and investigated, have your life turned inside out, have, you know, been charged with an offense that can make you potentially a sex offender, that can put you in prison for decades now with these draconian sentencing guidelines. And in the military, more so than anywhere else, you have a system that's designed to get convictions. It's a system that's the military doesn't set up this system of justice for you to win. It's set up for them to win. And we talk about good order and discipline. Well, the military enacts good order and discipline or ensures it by making an example out of people. And it happens all the time. And so having a civilian defense counsel, first off, you have someone that's outside of the military, and that's really important. You need someone that's been in the military. There are very few civilian defense counsels who haven't been in the military. It'd be almost impossible to do this otherwise. If you find that, walk away. You really need to have had time in the military, even for credibility, understand the language or how things
work. Yeah, yeah.
But
acronyms.
But more so than that, in the military, even the best attorneys have been doing a defense billet for 18 months, 2 years. You're lucky to find anyone that's done it for 3 years. And a lot of them have very little experience. They may want to do this, maybe, you know, it may really want to help and do the best they can, but they may not have the experience. It's very difficult to find someone in the military doing defense who's had 250, 300, 400, 500 trials under their belt. I think I have over 500 verdicts under my belt at this point in time. And that's just a product of, I've been doing this 20 plus years and this is all I've ever done. And so again, you want to find someone that has the experience, that has a track record of winning these cases, who understands the military, and something you can get behind. I mean, the personality is everything. So you watch my videos, you talk to me. If I'm not the right personality, get someone else. I mean, don't even like, oh, maybe Mr. Blakey's the right person. Get someone else. If you talk to someone else and they don't have the right personality, you know, find someone that's going to advocate and represent for you, represent you, and they can do that well. Right. And go ahead.
I like where you're going with that, Tim. So let's talk about this. Like, whether it's you or somebody else, what are some of the qualities that somebody should be looking for when hiring a defense attorney, you know, outside of the military?
It's not just experience is like the base. Oh, do you have experience? Well, I hope you have experience. Otherwise, how the hell are you going to run your own law firm? When I say experience, they should have, you know, at least 10 plus years of experience. If you don't have 10 years of experience, walk away. And what I see now a lot is you have a lot of civilian defense counsel that they're JAGs 1 minute. They do it for 2 years. They, I can make some easy money doing defense work. And they go open up a business, get a law firm, and now they're defending service members. Well, I'd be very leery about that for anyone who hasn't been doing it, has a track record of doing it for a decade or more, if you really want someone that's experienced, right? So that's really important. The other thing is personality is very, very important. I'm an optimist. I'm someone that's always hopeful about the future. I'm someone that if you look at a very complex problem, I'm not going to stop until I can figure out a way to overcome that problem and win a case. That's why I really enjoy taking on the most challenging cases. Some counsel only want the easy cases that can stack up a win record. You know, I want the toughest cases I can find and have the ability to win the case. And so I think that's what your individual is probably looking for, someone with that type of mentality, a winning mindset and knows how to win. And that's what I would be looking for, at least. I mean, you can talk to people. Think about, forget lawyers, right? Think of anything else you want to hire someone to do. You know, if they're, well, I like the law and I think I can win your case. And yep, well, these prosecutors are tough, but we can... we'll see what we can do. I mean, come on. I mean, really? And maybe they're just, that's just the way their personality is. But that would just turn me off completely to doing that, right? I want someone that has confidence, but not arrogance or hubris. Someone that has confidence has the ability to back that confidence up, and they're confident for a reason. Okay. And not only that, but let's just be real for a minute here, right? I want someone who wins at life. And I'm going to say that again. I want someone who wins at life, because if you are, you know, someone who wins at life, that is probably indicative of the qualities that you have. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say you're in a very happy, committed marriage, and you've got a great family. And not only can you be a lawyer and run a business, but you can be a great dad, and you're financially responsible, and you give back and you have service in your community. And you know what? You're actually in shape, and you can get at the gym, and you don't look like a soup sandwich when you show up in court, and you can speak well, and you are an elite high performer in life. If you are an elite high performer in life, it's probably because of the qualities you have that make you who you are, which also probably make you a damn good trial lawyer as well. If you are a loser in life, and they're out there, let's say you're a loser in life, why the hell are you going to be, how can you be an exceptional trial lawyer? How are you going to be able to travel halfway around the world and have the mental stamina, the physical stamina, and be able to do everything that's required to save someone's life in trial when you're a loser at life? And let's just call it the way it is. I think that's true, though.
Yeah, well, how would somebody, like, I don't know, when they're investigating or when they're shopping lawyers, if that's what you want to call it, how are they going to know if they're a winner at life or not?
You just talk to them.
Yeah.
Just talk to someone. I mean, you're telling me you talk to people all, you know, every time you go anywhere, you talk to people and you can get a feel. Am I wrong, Jason, of who's a winner and who is doing well? And I don't mean financially, you know, I don't mean all of that. No, that's a byproduct of it. But people that just are doing well at life, they're happy, they're optimistic, they're usually in pretty good shape. They do everything well, and they're well-rounded, and they're balanced, right? If you have someone that makes a gajillion dollars, but their family life fell apart and they've got a alcohol or cocaine addiction and their whole world fell apart, but all they can do is just be a trial lawyer, and the world fell apart, is that really someone that you want?
Right. Right.
I can handle a lot of different things. Maybe. But I don't believe in that. I think you need to look at the individual, you know, their individual person and their personality and who they are. Who are you? And what motivates you? What drives you? And if you have someone of those qualities, they're the ones who are going to go to bed. When everyone else has walked away and it's just you and maybe your attorney standing and everyone else has walked away, are they going to be the ones in your corner? Are they going to be able to endure hell with you? Are they going to be able, the ones that are going to be able to go through all this with you and walk through the other side of it? Okay. Because if they can't handle all these other parts of their life and balance everything, then how the hell are they going to do it for you when something goes wrong or when court doesn't go exactly like it's supposed to? That's the way I look at it. It's more of a bigger philosophy maybe on how I live my life. But I think it's really important.
So in keeping with a theme, Tim, about, you know, having the right defense attorney to making all the difference, whether it's you or somebody else, do you have a story of how having the right attorney made all the difference in the outcome?
It was a single story, but you have to be able to quickly adapt to things in trial, because whatever, you know, no plan survives first contact, right? And trials are like that all of the time. Now, I can think of one case that Ben and I did about a year and a half ago in Okinawa, where midway, after the first week of trial, we were discovered on us over 10,000 pages of text messages between our client and the alleged victim that we should have had well before trial. They were all in Puerto Rican slang Spanish, and those text messages ended up really exonerating our client. We should have got them before, and there's a whole host of legal issues there. But once we got those, we had to make a decision what we do with them. And so it was putting a team to stay up literally all night for days, getting someone to translate these messages who understood Puerto Rican Spanish, being able to execute all of that, put it together. And it changed drastically how we even tried the case. And this is on day three. Mm-hmm. So one option would be, oh, we need a continuance, we need a delay. But I was able to assess these very, very quickly and integrate them into our strategy and pivot, knowing that if we continued, we'd lose this advantage because the government wasn't going to be able to do what we could with these messages. And so we were able to very quickly pivot, understand what the kind of the culture behind these messages, what they meant. And I used these 2 days or almost three, maybe 3 days later in the cross-examination of the alleged victim. And it showed that she had been lying throughout the majority of the case. And our client was acquitted. And so in a case like that, you know, having the having attorney that doesn't have the mental stamina or the physical stamina to say, oh, we have this huge trove of meshes. What do we do now? In the middle of a trial, in the middle of some of the moments where everything's on your shoulders already, to be able to get through that stress and be able to, you know, think clearly and how to analyze that situation. We did. And we were able to tactically use that to, you know, to change our strategy up a little bit and ultimately win the case. And so that's just one, you know, example without giving a lot of details. Mm-hmm. But you have to have someone, I go back to this being well-rounded and balanced and not good at just one thing. Because if you are overcome by that in the middle of a trial and overwhelmed by that, you don't know what to do with it. And you have to be able to think on your feet fast and be able to organize quickly and be able to pivot very, very quickly. And that's just the nature of a trial. I mean, it's probably no different than, you know, sports or football. You may have the best plan going in, and next thing you know, you're down 28-3 in the third, and maybe you go on to win the game, and maybe it's the Super Bowl, right? And maybe because you had a quarterback whose name was Tom Brady and could, you know, do those types of things, right? You have to be able to change to what's going on around you and be able to execute. And if you can't do that, you're going to lose trials, at least the tough ones. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen just in courtrooms. It takes someone that's well-balanced. I call it the winner at life mentality that can be able to do that. You know, you don't just show up into court and now have a different personality trait that you didn't have before because times get hard. In fact, it's going to be the opposite.
Yeah. To wrap things up though, Tim, what do you think the biggest misconception is from people that are hiring defense attorneys? I mean, you talk to people every day. People are calling your office, people email you. So like, what's the biggest misconception that you see when people are trying to hire you?
I think there's a couple different misconceptions. I think one is that if they hire any civilian attorney, they're going to get some great result. We're some magical, mythical beings. You hire a civilian attorney, they're going to win. The reality is a lot of civilian attorneys, you're throwing your money away. And so, you know, there are a lot of times where you are much better off with a military lawyer than a brand new civilian attorney who, you know, is trying to get as many cases as they can because they don't have enough business and they have to lower their fees, make really low fees. Next thing you know, they have three times as many cases as the military attorney and they end up doing a worse job. And so just because you hire civilian counsel doesn't mean you're any better off. It's hiring the right individual. And that's the first piece. Make sure you're really diligent about who you retain as your attorney and make sure they're the right fit. You have to know about them. And it has to be the right fit. The other misconceptions, people sometimes are like, well, why does it cost so much? I think that sometimes I get that. Other people don't, you know, wonder like, well, oh my God, that's kind of what I figured it'd be. Other people are like, oh my God, how can it be X amount of dollars? And it's just having people understand it's not just the experience. There's a monumental time factor that goes into this, mm-hmm. You know, in terms of reading these case files, digesting them, understanding them, interviewing witnesses. And that's just the baseline stuff. Every lawyer is going to do that. And taking the hours, that, you know, that little inspiration and a lot of perspiration and building out these storyboards and putting these cases together. And then I love to take cases in Asia. I mean, that's kind of what I'm known for in a lot of ways. I take cases all over the world, but I love Korea and Okinawa, mainland Japan cases. So now we're flying, you know, last week I flew, you know, I think 40, 50 hours for one motions hearing.
Yeah.
And why did I do that? Because it was important for me to be there because we had to win that motions hearing in order to have a better chance at trial. And so all of this stuff is just a monumental time commitment. And so you have to have an attorney that charges. I have to charge appropriately. Number one, to compensate my time, my expertise. That's one thing. But the second thing is, you know, if you have an attorney that's charging a super low fee, you have to wonder about that. You know, why are they charging such a low fee? And does that mean they have 40 clients? If everyone else is charging $30,000 and they're charging five, why is that?
Yeah.
You know, it is. Why is that? And so price matters. You obviously don't want to be gouged and you want to get a fair value. And I always believe I give exceptionally fair value for what I think we should charge, frankly, a lot more. It's just a point where service members just can't afford it at some point in time. But you always have to wonder about that. And, you know, if you have a civilian attorney that has 10 times more clients than a military attorney, are you really even better off? And so the CDC or the Civilian Defense Council is not the magic end-all be-all to win every case. There are a lot of people who are out there that don't know what the hell they're doing or aren't very good at it or just don't care enough. We're trying to make a quick buck, and you've got to be very, very careful of that.
The stakes in military court are high, and the right defense can change the course of your life. Choosing someone who knows the system and knows how to fight isn't a luxury. It's a necessity. Until next time, this is Off the Record with Tim Bielecki.